Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas with you. And it's time now for us to talk some Cavaliers basketball with the voice of the Cavaliers, Tim Alcorn. Before we jump into our conversation with Tim, we want to remind you that coming up at the end of our conversation with Tim, we're giving away a mystery Cavaliers prize thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Listen for the cue to call at the end of our talk with Tim and call in to win the Cavaliers Mystery Prize. Tim, as always, my friend, a pleasure to have you on. And, boy, a bit of a lull in the schedule here. Kind of interesting. The Cavaliers have had just one game over the course of the last 5 or 6 days here. That's not something, I guess, that you guys can get used to, though, can you?
No, we can't get used to that at all because we've got Orlando and Philly back-to-back Friday, Saturday, up to Boston on Monday. Come back home next week for one game and then go right down to San Antonio for a back-to-back. So, yeah, this one game within 4, 5, 6 days, that's not something that's the norm for sure.
No doubt about that. Well, the Cavaliers look pretty promising in their loss against the Milwaukee Bucks at home last Friday, but then Tuesday did not turn out so well in a lopsided loss against the Detroit Pistons, who just shot the lights out on Tuesday night at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Tim, we'll start with your three major takeaways from what you saw from the Cavaliers in their last two games, going back to Friday against the Bucks and, of course, Tuesday against the Pistons.
Wow. Well, the first takeaway would be one step forward, step and a half, maybe two steps back. The second half against Milwaukee was just outstanding. I mean, yeah, they lost the game, but they were down by 20 to the top team in the East at halftime, and got that thing all the way down to three on a few occasions in the fourth quarter. I mean, Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse was jumping. The Cavs were knocking down shots. Hey, Milwaukee's got the league MVP, and Giannis, he's a great closer, and he kept the Cavs at bay. But there was a lot to build on from the second half of that Milwaukee game. So you're thinking Detroit's coming to town. They won their season opener at Indiana, and that's their only road win. They have lost nine straight since then. So you're thinking, this is a winnable ball game. Cavs go on a 15-0 run in the first quarter, and then, Bull, the wheels fell off. They just absolutely fell off. And I think John Beilein was pretty disappointed after the ball game. So that's take one. I mean, boy, a big step forward against Milwaukee and then a major step back in the game against Detroit. Takeaway number two would be the fact that in both games, again, you're going up against teams that can shoot the ball, but still you've got to lock down defensively. I'm sure that's something that both John Beilein and his quote-unquote defensive coordinator, J.B. Bickerstaff, are going to be looking at. I mean, yeah, Detroit knocked down shots, and I agree with your point, but you have to contest shots. And as Jim Jones mentioned during the course of the broadcast, at some point, you've got to knock somebody down if they're knocking down shots. You got to get a little physical. You don't have to play dirty. I'm not saying that, nor was Jim insinuating that, but you got to let them know you're around. So one of the things that J.B. Bickerstaff talks about during practices and even during some of the pregame interviews that we do is blowing up the other team's offense. And what he means by that is getting physical, knock them off. And you didn't see the Cavs do that against Detroit earlier this week. And I would say takeaway number three would be, again, young basketball team, how do they respond? We're going to find out Friday night with Orlando and then go right back on the road Saturday in Philadelphia. How does this young team respond to really getting walloped at home against the Pistons? I'm not saying that it should have been a guaranteed win, but that's certainly a team that you should match up well with. So that third takeaway would be, let's see how they bounce back, starting with the Magic on Friday.
Yes, and not to harp too much on the loss against the Pistons, but really it seemed as though that loss halted any momentum that the Cavaliers may have established in the, well, I want to say near come-from-behind win against the Milwaukee Bucks on Friday. I mean, people were telling me after the game on Friday that despite the loss, they were excited about the direction of the Cavs, and then on Tuesday, yeah, boy, they just couldn't get anything to work against the Pistons. And, you know, you also had some extra time for the Cavaliers to go through what John Beilein called an extra training camp, because as we talked about at the beginning of the interview, you have some extra time to practice a little bit more, and I know you get a chance to be a part of a lot of those practices. Well, what are some of the things that you've seen and that you've heard the Cavaliers tried to work on over those few days between last Friday's game and last Tuesday's game?
Well, one of the things that Coach Beilein is really big on is film study. Now, as part of the radio broadcast team, we're not allowed in there. We are allowed to watch practice, but John is really big. John Beilein is very big on film study. So there's a lot of times that we're sitting in the gym waiting for them to come out as they're back there watching film. You know, the old saying that the camera doesn't blink, the video doesn't lie. So anything that's happened on that floor, it's going to be exposed during video sessions. And again, John Beilein is very cognizant of the fact that, yes, it's training camp in the sense that you can get work in, but you can't work the guys like it's training camp because you're 20 games in, especially these young kids. They you got to save their legs somewhat. So, you know, I don't think he's really driving them during practice. They're not hard physical practices. They're getting drill work done. They're looking at different schemes as far as offense and defense is concerned, or tweaking their schemes, maybe a better way to put that. But I think it's more the film study guys. And he likes to also show them, by the way, what they're doing well. And I think that's huge because he isn't sitting there in those film studies just harping on what they're doing wrong. I mean, obviously, a very young basketball team, you're going to make mistakes. Everybody's very in tune to that. But he also wants to show them, here's what we're doing well. Here's what we need to build on. And then he hopes that translates out onto the floor, both during practice and then obviously during the games.
What's interesting about what you mentioned there, too, is, you know, I think people lose sight of this as well. We always harp on, you know, as fans, hey, practice, practice, practice. If something's going wrong, you have a couple days to work on it in practice. But you're right. With these young guys, I think they don't want to overwork these guys to the point where they're absolutely spent, because here we sit on December 5th, and realistically, there are another 4 months left in the season. So I think that certainly has to be monitored carefully. There's no question about that. And while we're on the topic of some of the young guys, some news came down the pipe yesterday that Dylan Windler is going to join the Canton Charge. And obviously very good news because, Tim, it looks like we're finally going to see him in some real game action because he's been on the bench for so long now. I mean, it was also fascinating, too, to listen to Kevin Love's comments during a practice back on Monday talking about how he felt it won't be as tough for Dylan Windler since he's a four-year college guy. Just kind of wanted your thoughts on that, too. I thought that was an interesting comment about how a four-year college guy might have a little bit of an easier time getting back into the flow.
I think that's a great point by Kevin Love because when you look at the fact that the other two rookies, Darius Garland, I mean, he played high school basketball and then five games in college. That's it. So, you know, he's 20 games into an NBA career, and he's thinking, boy, back in high school, 20, 30 games, and it was over. So, obviously, they play AAU ball. I understand all that. But the grind of an NBA season, you're 20 games in, and you're thinking, boy, I got 62 more to go. Same with Kevin Porter Jr. So, for Dylan Windler, having gone through four full college seasons, granted, they're not 82 games, but he's used to that rhythm. He's used to being involved for an extended length of time. So I think Kevin Love makes a great point. And I think it's huge that they're going to finally be able to see what Dylan Windler can bring. Now, again, he'll start off down in Canton. So your good friend of mine, Scott Zerillo, will have a chance to watch him a few times or maybe only one or two with the Canton Charge. I think they want to get him up to the NBA level as quickly as possible, Bull. They want to find out what they've got in this kid. I know John Beilein just raves about him. He doesn't go, or he hasn't been, throughout most of the first couple of months. He hasn't gone full bore in practice. But, you know, when he gets out there and he's running up and down, he can bury some shots. And John Beilein loves his shooting ability. So they want to get him up and find out what they have. You have three number one draft choices. They're going to see a lot of action on the floor, especially as this season moves along. And for Dylan Windler, he's a big cog in that. They've got to find out what they have in that third pick in the first round.
Again, we're speaking with Tim Alcorn, voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Tim's appearances brought to you by North Ridgeville Convenience, Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. All right, I want to stick with Windler for another moment here as well, because you mentioned that he hasn't been able to go all out in practice, but you guys have been able to see him at least a little bit. And really, from the eyes of the fans, he's kind of the great unknown because they haven't had a chance to see much of him. I know he participated a little bit in the summer leagues, but that was so long ago. I feel like that's almost all but been forgotten at this point. Is his ability to knock down shots from beyond the arc, is that the biggest takeaway for you about Windler's ability, or are there some other things that you see from him in practice?
At least from what I've seen in practice, he can shoot it. And again, I think that's what John Beilein is excited about. And certainly that was the scouting report on Windler coming out, that, you know, he can step back and knock down shots as a stretch three, as they call him, out there on the wing. He's got some length as well. So I think on the defensive side, I mean, he's not the biggest guy. He's not, a bulky guy, but he's got some length. He's got some long arms. So I think defensively, he'll be able to help out as well. But there's no doubt, Bull, that what they're looking for from Dylan Windler is the ability to knock down that shot and spread the floor a little bit for the Cavalier offense.
Ante Zizic only played a few minutes the other night, and I know that plantar fasciitis had him on the bench for a good chunk of the start of the season, but boy, that's not a name that we've talked about a whole lot throughout the course of the year, other than mentioning the fact that he's been injured. Tim, do you see him working his way into the rotation a little bit more? And is the fact that he's not playing a whole lot early on in the year, do you think that there's anything more to that other than the injury?
That's a good question, Bull. I mean, obviously, plantar fasciitis, that can really, really hamper somebody. I mean, it can be a lingering thing. So Ante really hasn't had his opportunity. I think it might come down between him and Henson. I mean, who can they keep healthy to be out there on the floor? Because Henson would basically serve that same role, that rim protector, that rebounder. I mean, he's not as big physically as Ante Zizic is, but they need somebody in that low block to spell Tristan Thompson. So I know they'd love to see Henson really show what he can do. They liked him when they got him from Milwaukee. They just haven't been able to watch him perform. I mean, he's just been hurt the entire time. So with Zizic, I think it's a battle between him and Henson. And, you know, Ante, when he's been out there, has demonstrated the ability to get some things done. I mean, he's not going to light up your score sheet, but, you know, he can clog the lane, he can grab some rebounds, block a couple of shots here or there, and the Cavaliers certainly need that.
No doubt about it, they need that. And I think you talk about John Henson, and, you know, he spoke at Shoot Around before the game on Tuesday against the Pistons. And one of the things he was asked was, you know, what are some things that you've been able to observe about this team from the bench? And one of the biggest takeaways was that, you know, he really felt like they were a pretty scrappy bunch. And I think that's certainly something that's resonated throughout the course of the year, not necessarily just from Henson, but you hear a lot of that from opposing players as well, that, you know, while the win-loss record may not be desirable at this point, the Cavaliers are definitely a scrappy bunch.
They are. And I think part of the disappointment in the loss to Detroit was they lost a little bit of that. They weren't quite as scrappy. And one of the things that you and I have talked about, Bull, during the course of these conversations is that John Beilein's team will be competitive. They lost a little of that in the game against Detroit. But for the most part, yes, they have been competitive insofar as battling. It may not end up in the win-loss record, but they will fight. So that's what I'm saying about tomorrow night and, of course, Saturday in Philly. Will they put up a fight? I'd like to see that come back because it should be a trademark of the team no matter what your win-loss record is.
Absolutely, it should, and hopefully the Cavaliers can turn some things around again tomorrow night. They're taking on the Orlando Magic, and then, as Tim mentioned, out on the road for a quick East Coast swing against Philly and Boston. Tim, as always, my friend, a pleasure to have you on and talk Cavaliers basketball with you. Safe travels on that East Coast trip, and we'll sit down and do this again next week.
Hey, Bo Barch, you know how special AM 930 and 100.3 FM WEOL is to me, so love these weekly chats, and look forward to talking again next week.
Absolutely, my friend. Thank you very much, Tim. That's Tim Alcorn, voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. We're going to open up the phone lines. If you're the first to call, you'll win the Cavaliers Mystery Prize at 440-322-0930. That's 440-322-0930. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.